Okay, this is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and the topic this month is attitude.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that you're allowing that into your consciousness, into your thinking, that your mind will allow you to accept that for yourself. The world does not want you to know that we truly are gods and goddesses. Jesus is the one who said, ye are gods. So try to bring that into your mind all the time, because if you come to the point where you know that you are a god, not the God, but a God. We're all together in this thing. We were born with all the things inside of us that this thing that we call God has. If you don't believe that in any way, it slows down your life and it makes your life completely different. And that's, we are here because we want to make our lives different than other people's. We want to see something different. Can you imagine if we all knew that we were gods and we all accepted that, how the world would change overnight? But we keep thinking, oh no, God's outside of us. God is outside of us. God is inside of us, outside of us, everywhere, and there's only God. So therefore, you have to be some part of that, and you have to have the same qualities that God has. I often say, William Shakespeare said, assume a virtue if you have it not. Just assume that you have all these qualities and they will come to the forefront in you. But learn to accept that. It's a very hard one. If your mind says, oh no, that isn't true, or he's blowing smoke, or whatever your mind is telling you, you have to correct that. You have to tell your mind, no, this is what I want to believe. Because it's all done with your belief system. So get the idea in your head that you are a god or a goddess. And go from there and then see what all you can do. With that, Andy, would you read this and pass it on?
I am a creator.
I am a creator.
I am a creator.
I am a creator. I am a creator.
And I am a creator. We have to accept that about ourselves. We are creating our world. We are creating our reality. Therefore, we are gods and goddesses. What does a god do when you think of God? God, well, we said God created this, God created that. We have to know that in our own life we are creators, and we're doing that with our belief systems, with our attitudes, with our viewpoints, with our opinions. Those things can be changed. I had a client last week, and I forget the question he asked, and I said to him the answer. I said to him, you know, once something appears, once you see something, you can do nothing about it. Only the unseen can you do anything about. Once it pops up in front of you and you see it, there it is. Nothing you can do about it. Because now it's on the outside of life. And we can't affect the outside of life. We can only affect the inside of life. So we're always working with the invisible. So just think about that for a moment. If you can see it, you can't do anything about it. But when you're... when it's still in consciousness, when it's still in the thinking process, you can change it with your belief, your viewpoint, your attitudes, and your opinion. So tonight we're going to talk about attitude. And I often do this in my own self when I get very grouchy and all this. I just set myself down and say, Dallas, you need an attitude adjustment here. You have to change your attitude about what's going on. What are some of the attitudes that we hold in life, or people hold in life? Life is a struggle. Money is scarce. This is happening. That's happening. There are attitudes. You have to get rid of those attitudes if you're going to accomplish something in your life. Let me tell you a cute story. A woman woke up one morning and she noticed she only had three hairs in her head. She said, "Oh, well, today I'll plait them together." And off she went and had a marvelous day. The next day she woke up, she only had two hairs in her head. She said, "Oh, well, today I'll part it." And she went off and had a wonderful day. The next day she woke up with one hair. And she said, "Oh, well, today I'll wear it as a ponytail." And off she went and had a marvelous day. The next day she woke up, she had no hair whatsoever when she looked in the mirror, and she said, "Good, I won't have to fuss with my hair today." And off she went and had a wonderful time. That attitude, instead of saying, "Oh, I only have this, I'm this, or this is going to happen." Now, to bring that into the real world, I have a friend, Susie, and her last name everyone loves. Her last name is Fenstermacher, German, and I grew up with her grade school. In fact, the first grade we met. Susie has a wonderful attitude on life. Always has had. And we were at my cousin's in Washington, D.C. And we drove down there from Pennsylvania, and a friend of ours was coming over from Annapolis. And Susie had her hair all done at that time. Now, it's way back when they had all that hair, you know, that big hair. That evening, I don't know if it was myself or somebody else, took a shower, and then Susie wanted to go in the bathroom and take her bath. She didn't check, and when she turned the water on, the shower came all down over, ruined that hairdo. She just laughed and said, "Come on, we'll go out anyway." She wasn't one bit that attitude. I grew up with a mother. Her hair had to be perfect. If her hair wasn't perfect, her whole mood was ruined. One hair out of place, and she just carried on something fierce. It's attitude, people. It's attitude. How are you looking at it, and what's your attitude going to be about it? Are you going to have a good time? Are you going to continue when things like that happen? I still know Susie today, and she has that exact same attitude, that exact same wonderful personality. Everyone loves to be around her because she can always see a different way to look at it and not get all upset like so many people. Then the other thing about attitude, you know, my Aunt Catherine was about 90, she was 90, when she went to the doctor. And the first thing he asked her, "When's the last time you've seen a doctor?" She said, "Oh, about 60 years ago." And he said, "Well, maybe that's why you're living so long." And she looked at him and she said, "Don't you think attitude has something to do with it? Don't you think attitude?" Attitude is one of the greatest things you can develop and use with your health, with your relationships, with everything in life. It requires an attitude. And the most marvelous thing about attitude is, it's like a belief or anything, you can change it. You have the power to change that. So change your attitude, adjust your attitude so that you get the best life that you want. You know, we complain, "Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that." We don't need all those other trappings. If you can change your attitude and see everything as wonderful, wonderful things are going to happen to you, and all the things that you think you don't have are going to come to you, are going to be there. Just, that's the way it's going to be. So, use this idea. We think beliefs are very hard to change. You hear that all the time. They're not hard to change. But attitudes are easier than anything to change. You know when you're in a bad attitude. You know what your attitude is. Are you going to be mean to people? Or how are you going to present yourself? It's your attitude that's going to help. And attitude and health is one of the things that will keep you healthy. To have an attitude of good health and not have, "Oh, I'm bad, I'm aching, I'm this, I'm that." I was around a woman the other day, my God, she opportunity there, an hour, she took it and leave. Then she said, excuse me, I have to take a Xantex because that gives me heartburn. And she said, oh, I have something in my hip. I'm going to have to get one of those things that...
Walkers.
No, not a walker. She had to excuse herself and go apply this thing. She showed it to me to her hip that gets warm while you're doing it. It's a Band-Aid or a bandage. It was a big thing like that. I mean, every 2 minutes she was applying something to herself. Every 2 minutes she was doing something. I would have said an hour. I wonder what she's going to do the rest of the day. But she had that attitude. The wrong attitude. You can't. You have to watch your attitude. And you can do that. You can change your attitude. It's the easiest thing to do. If you think you can't change your habit or anything else, you can change an attitude. Once you learn that you can do all this, the other things fall into place. They become easier and easier. But you have to know God is not going to change your attitude. He's not going to change your belief systems. God is going to leave you alone. You have everything that you need. Now you have to take all those things and do something with it for yourself. Because it's not that God doesn't care. I think it's because God loves you so much, God is not going to interfere with your life, or the universe is not going to interfere with your life. If you have a bad attitude, it doesn't bother the universe. It bothers you and other people, of course. It doesn't bother the universe. The universe says, well, if you want to have that bad attitude, go right ahead. I'm not going to change your mind, and I'm not going to do anything. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. Now it's up to you to see, oh, that was a beautiful sunset, you see. And that's an attitude, to see the beauty in things and to learn to see the beauty in things and to keep your attitude as high as you possibly can. Change your attitude about life itself. Life is not a struggle. We've been taught that. We've been taught that life is this, that, and the other thing. Change your attitude about what you think life is all about. Change it to, this is a wonderful experience I'm going through. I'm delighted that I'm going through this experience. I'm absolutely delighted. You have to do that. It's all there in front of you. You have to see it and then do something about it. And be happy that you're alive. Be happy that you're alive. I have a friend at the present moment that had, over the weekend, had a very severe stroke. And he's completely brain dead. They're waiting to pull the plug on him. And then they called to say to me, well, you have the power of attorney to do that if you want the machines taken off of it. My attitude there is, I didn't take the machines off. I would, but his brother's there. I said, let the brother decide what's going to be done, you know. But my attitude with that is, I love Tom dearly. You can look at it and say, well, he's only 57 years old. What a horrible waste. Isn't that a short life and all? You have to realize that word is eternity. This is not the only life the man is going to have. Why he chose to do this or why, whatever, I'm not going to get into any of that. But I'm not going to get into the sadness. I liked him as long as he was here. I had him for the years that he was here. So now if he's gone, making his transition, he's going to move on to something bigger and better. And you have to know that about yourself. And that's the attitude that you have to change. We're taught, most people, that there's only this one life. Don't you think that that would be a very stupid thing for this thing called God to only have short little lives for people when it goes on for eternity, that it just keeps going on, that you'd only be and gone? You have to know that you're going on to something better, or if you believe in reincarnation, that you're going to come back and continue in another life. My whole philosophy in that is that we chose to be here, and we chose to be the people we are today. We can change that. But we came here to learn something, not in a punitive way, but to learn something to make our consciousness expand, to make our consciousness expand. So change your attitude about what you think life is all about. And if you think you're going to die at 80, 90, or whatever the age range is, you're not going to. Excuse me. Life continues, and it will always continue. It's always going to be life without end. Life without end, because this thing called God is eternal, and we are part of that. And if we say that we are gods or goddesses, then we too must be eternal. So, if we don't get it this go-round, we're going to get it the next go-around. But have fun with where you are in life right now. But know that you can change this whole thing with your attitude. You can change your attitude. I forgot to tell you, I went away into Marin County. I didn't know that place was in Marin County that I was going to, but it was so beautiful. Just so beautiful driving up the 5 and then the 580 and into Marin County. This country and this state, absolutely gorgeous. It was beautiful. The hills, and some of them were brown, and some of them were gold, and some of them were green, and the different shades, and the yews, and the tree. And then I went to a redwood forest, and I saw a 1,300-year-old redwood. 1,300-year-old redwood, and the man said, well, that's one of the babies. They cut down all the parents. They cut down the older ones. But they're saving these things now. So this planet, this life, is just so filled with so many wonderful, wonderful things. So we have to change our attitude that, oh, isn't it limiting? And isn't it this, that, and the other thing? It's done with your attitude. Just sit down and give yourself an attitude adjustment. I have to give myself an attitude adjustment. Even with the traffic, because you can get a bad attitude out there, and it's up to you. There's nothing on the outside of life that can cause anything. It's what you're thinking about the outside of life that is causing everything, and part of it is your attitude. Your attitude and your beliefs and your viewpoints and your opinions are all combined. So many people want to make a demonstration. Well, you have to be able to get all those things into the same sympathy with each other so that they're all doing the same. You can't have an attitude that's bad and an opinion that's good. You see, they both have to, everything has to gel together. It's a combination. It's a big ball of wax going on. And that's what I think many people, why they don't demonstrate. They think, oh, I don't have to change all these different things. You have to change all the different things about yourself. You have to change everything about yourself if you want to demonstrate. It's a wonderful world out here. You have to know that, and then you have to apply yourself and do something about that. And since everything starts on the inside, what do we always start with? We start with our own thinking. And we can now, we've had many classes on the idea of becoming a witness to your own thinking and seeing what your mind is saying to you and the power to change that so that you're able to think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel. And when you learn that, and I get glimpses of it, and every time I get a glimpse of it and able to do it just a little bit, I think there's something very strange here. It's like entering a completely different world. It's like entering a completely different world when you can get to change your thinking and see things completely differently. Because we see with our mind, not with our eyes. And we see the world the way we are, not the way the world is. We see the world the way we are. So if we're mean and hateful and have horrible attitudes, that's what we apply to the world. It's like these glasses. If I put these glasses on and they're hate glasses, that's all I see. If I put these glasses on and they're love glasses, then that's all I can see. I often advise many of my clients who come to just get out their love glasses and put them on. And then look through your love glasses. So if you want to change your attitude, it's not good to say, oh, my goodness, I don't have my bright glasses on. Excuse me one moment, I have to put my love glasses on. And you just put your love glasses on and you're looking through it. We're always looking through filters. We're always looking through filters. That's the most difficult thing that we have to do, is to realize that we're looking through a filter. You see? And you see that if you have those... I had a pair of sunglasses once, made everything look blue. Everything blue, you see. So you have to remember that. If things aren't going right, just pause a moment. Oh, excuse me, I must get my love glasses on. And then you'll start to see through the eyes of love, which I start this up with. I behold you through the eyes of love. But sometimes I have to get my glasses and just them, because I'm looking through. But whether you're wearing real glasses or not, you're looking through a filter of your beliefs, a filter of your opinions, a filter of your viewpoints and your attitudes. These are filters that we put in front of us. So we have to see, oh, how can I change that to see what I want to see so that I can see this beautiful world? Going up there to Marin County, the ride up, everything was absolutely fabulous. I thought it was so beautiful. It's like going through a painting. It's just like driving through a painting. But if I were, if I didn't have the attitude that it was a wonderful trip, that I was having fun with it, would I have seen the beauty? Would I have seen the beauty? Then the next question is, even with the beauty I saw, I'm sure I missed a great deal because of my thinking. You see? You have to keep changing. You have to keep filtering, taking those filters off, peeling them back, so that you see what is really there. That's the whole idea of don't judge by appearances. Don't judge by appearances. Nothing you can do about those appearances, unless you change your mind about them. Unless you change your mind and see this as a wonderful experience. I know tons of people who semi-enjoy life. I'm not here to semi-enjoy anything. I'm here to go full throttle. To live out loud, or whatever they call that. I don't want to be cautious. I want to be bold. For years, I also used an affirmation, and I may have told you before, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold. I tell people that when they go for auditions or a job interview. I say, go in there and be bold about the whole thing. Don't, you know, be timid. Be bold. Who wants to be timid, you see? And we learned all that from Sermon on the Mount, that whole idea. That the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, the meek will inherit the earth because they're the only ones who want it. You know, there's no grace in being meek. There's no grace in being meek. If you say that you're a god or a goddess, do you think you can be meek? I don't think so. You have to be bold. You have to put it out there. You have to say, I love my life. I love life itself. I love this planet that I'm on. I love this universe that I live in. And know that you're here for a particular reason, that you chose this, that you have something to give, something to offer. And then have fun with that and change your attitude about the whole thing. We have an attitude that you have to get out there and make money. You have to get out there and do all that stuff. I said to somebody recently, well, if you were born 100 years ago and you were an Indian, they didn't have to make money. They just enjoyed every day. They enjoyed every day. And they had wonderful attitudes and so forth. Back to the redwoods. The Indians who lived in Northern California with the redwoods and all never cut a redwood down. Now, they used the redwoods to build homes, to make clothing for their canoes and all, but only after it fell down itself. They never cut a redwood. White man came in, and of course, we cut them all down. It's a difference in attitude. It's a difference in attitude. What's the greatest attitude that you want to develop? Take a hint from the Indians. You are being taken care of. We are always being taken care of. That's the greatest affirmation you can say to yourself every day. Thank you. I am being taken care of. And then know that this universe is taking care of you. And when we say that intrinsically you have all these qualities of God and you try to talk yourself out of them, what are you doing? Trying to make a liar out of God? You see? Are you trying to make a liar out of God? God doesn't tell you that you're wonderful and marvelous and all that for you to say, oh no, I'm not. Oh no, I'm a horrible person. You know, that's making a liar out of God. So change your attitude about that. Change your attitude about yourself. And what are the things that you want to know about yourself with a good attitude? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. That's very important. And that whole thing got started, the idea about mattering, from a woman that came to a class that I was holding. I think you were probably there that night, in Pasadena. That's how that she doesn't come anymore, because she couldn't handle that, that she mattered. But it's very, very important. I will tell you, I may have been, in my 30s anyway. And I thought I was doing fairly well. When I look back, you know, with the smoking and the drinking and all that, I wasn't doing too well. But I didn't know how bad off I was. So one day my friend Betty said to me, Dallas, don't you know that you matter? Now, I had met Betty in college and all, and she was older than I am. She's since left this plane of action. That hit me like a ton of bricks. No one, and I never thought to myself that I mattered. I mean, I knew I was here. I knew I was a human. I knew I thought I was a nice person and all that. But I didn't know I mattered. I didn't know I mattered to myself, nor to anybody else, or that any of my opinions or any of that stuff meant anything to anybody. So that's why that's thrown in there, that you matter. You have to know that you matter. You matter not only to this thing called God that would be incomplete without you. You have to know that you matter to yourself. You have to love yourself enough that to say, I matter. I matter in this world. You see? God needs us. God needs each and every one of us. We wouldn't be here if that weren't true. This whole someday, when they finally figure out how interconnected everything is and how much of everything there is, and that we still matter. We still matter. I think that they estimate now that there's 100 million different forms of life just on this planet. Just on this planet, 100 million forms of life. You know, they find it everywhere. Places that they never thought it was before, they go investigate. Oh my God, there's life. There's life. Life is just pushing. And when I use this word life, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about intelligence. It's pushing at you all the time. It's pushing at you. It's pushing through you. It's pushing every corner of this universe. is alive and vibrant. So change that attitude if you think, we're a little isolated or we don't have... Think of all the wonderful things that are going on all the time. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things going on all the time. As we sit here in these chairs, all the magnificent processes that are going on inside of our body right now are in the millions also. There are a million things going on inside of us at the present moment to keep us in the best of health. Tons of things that we cannot understand. Now, I said earlier about attitude and health. You know, your attitude, your thinking controls, and this is the big one, controls every gland in your body. It's your attitude that controls your glands, and your glands control your body. So what is your attitude? What is your attitude about yourself? Just knowing that, so that you know that you're releasing the right chemicals inside of you. You have that. We want to go and take a pill. We want to go and have somebody else do that for us. No one can do that for you. You do that in your own mind. Someday, and I don't think it's going to be far in the future, they'll discover that this is absolutely what we're talking about here is absolutely true, and we won't have doctors the way we have today. We'll have a form of somebody, a spiritual doctor, that will be able, you'll be able to sit down and adjust your attitude. And once you adjust your attitude, your whole life is going to change. Your whole life is going to change because of that one little thing, attitude, and these attitude adjustments. And you can make them. You can make them yourself. You don't have to buy into that. If you get grumpy, you can sit yourself down and say, ha, that's not good. I'm going to change that. But we allow ourselves. See, we can't have that luxury anymore. We just can't. Not if we're moving towards this thing called godhood. We can't have that luxury of saying, I could be moody here today. Who the hell cares? You see? It's not good for you. Then it's not good for your body. You have to know that all these wonderful things, all these miracles and stuff are going on inside of you every moment of every day. I think I've told you this many times. Most people have no idea that resurrection is going on inside of them all day long. Why do we say that resurrection is going on inside of you? Because cells are dying off, and as soon as they die off, new cells are coming. New cells are coming constantly, and that will go on throughout your life. You just keep resurrecting yourself. You just keep resurrecting yourself. But the attitude is the most important thing, because when these cells are being born inside of you, what atmosphere are they being born into? If your attitude is one of sickness and one of this and one of hatred and jealousy and all that, your cells are born into that. Your cells are born into that. If you have an attitude that I'm whole, I'm complete, and I'm perfect, that I have health, and this thing called God is coursing through every cell in my body, now these cells are born in to a completely different attitude. Completely different attitude. And we can do that. You see, by using this wonderful thing, this mind that we have. We have to be able to do this stuff. This teaching is a wonderful teaching, and we have to just keep applying it more and more and more, and seeing it more and more and more. But the world is so convincing. The world is so convincing. And it's certainly convincing when it comes to, look at that lady that I was with. Her name's Marilyn, by the way. Love her. But, oh, I never saw it. Oh, now I have to take a Zantac. Now I have to take this to counteract that. Now I have to do mine. And she brought out that pail. I thought she was going to put it on in front of me on her hip. She said, do you excuse me? I thought, oh, thank God. She's going to excuse herself to put it on. But I don't have an ache or a pain in my body, and I realize that some people do, you know. But it's hard for me to grasp that, you know. It's very hard for me to grasp that. When I tell people I've never had a headache, they just look at me. Doctors look at me. I said, last week, Tuesday, in fact, before I left for the trip, I went out to UCLA and had a colonoscopy.
Oh, my God.
And they said, now, you haven't taken any aspirin or this, that, or the other. I said, no, I don't. Well, do you have painkillers? No, I didn't take a pain. I said, I never had a headache, and I've never taken an aspirin in my life. Well, of course, they all go. They don't believe that. And I told you the story about the woman at the x-ray place said to me, now, how many operations have you had? And I said, I've never had an operation. She said, at your age, you never had an operation? I said, no, I haven't had an operation. It's like I'm lying to them, you know? They do not believe that. They do not believe that. But that's attitude. And this, the one doctor out there said, well, you stay very healthy. And he said, it must be due to your attitude that you stay healthy. And I do stay healthy. I mean, I get little things, but I bring myself back from them. I don't dwell on them. I change my attitude again. And I say, I can do this. I can accomplish it. And I'm not against taking pills, by the way. This is not Christian science. This is religious science. In religious science, we believe that God is in a prayer or a pill. We believe that. So, if you want to take pills, please. But don't be like that woman. Oh, my goodness. And I never knew. You know, and the doctor says, well, what do you have around the house? I said, nothing. Well, how about anti-acids? I said, no, I've never taken an anti-acid. I've never had Tums. I don't have anything. And I think I've told you this before. As soon as I'm anywhere I've ever been, as soon as I get there, I remove the medicine cabinet. I don't have a medicine cabinet in my home. Do you know what that does to your mind to wake up every morning and you're looking in that mirror and you know behind that mirror are all the drugs? What do you think you're telling yourself? I immediately remove a medicine cabinet. Nothing. No medicine cabinet in my house. Attitude. It's attitude. And it works. You may not be able to give up a lot of things right away, but you can at least try. You don't have to go down the thing. Please, don't become a puppet to the world out there that tells you you have to have all this stuff. That's what I was going to say earlier. At my age, and I remember when I was a child and so forth, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Well, of course, we only had 3 stations on the television then, too, when I was a child, you know. But now you turn on the television and it's just one pill after the other to take something for this, that, or the other thing. Where, you know, somebody's pharmaceutical, they have to come up with something new for you to take. They have to come up with something new to take. Don't take that stuff. Change your attitude about that. Especially about health. In this country, we have this idea that we're always going to be falling apart. And we don't have to have that. We can change that attitude. That we, you know, we don't have to do those things. Attitude adjustment. Very important. Change your attitude about money. That's one of the things. Everyone wants money. Remember, this class is called a Prosperity and Abundance, including money. Well, you have to change your money, your idea about money, and adjust that attitude that you have about money. That money isn't scarce. That money is always freely circulating in your life, and that you always have a divine surplus. People say, well, that's not true. At the present moment, it may not be true in your life. But if you start with that premise, it has to be true. It has to come true. It has to come true. That's called starting at the end. You have to see what you want. When you see what you want, the end product, the universe has to make the adjustments to make that come true for you. It didn't exist before. But if you hold the end in mind, that's all you have to do, and you give up all the rest. Remember, fun and entertainment. God is ways and means. You come up with the idea. You come up with what you want. The universe will make all the adjustments. Now, it may take some time for that to happen, but you have to know that it's happening. You have to know that the universe is making every adjustment it can to make that come true for you. To make that come true for you. Do you remember I had the door knocker before I had the door? I had the dining room table before I had a dining room. People said, "What are you doing? You don't have a dining room." I said, "No, but if I have a table, certainly a dining room has to appear." And a dining room appeared to do it. So start with that. See your end product. See what you're doing at the end. And just hold that end. You do not know, you have to know how that is going to happen. You can't know how that's going to happen, people. You're not brilliant enough. Sorry, I'm not brilliant enough. Your mind cannot do it. But the mind of God, the mind of the universe, can do that. It knows everything. How do you think this universe came into being? How do you think it keeps going with all this stuff, that all this stuff doesn't run into each other? No one can figure that out. No one can figure that out. Don't bother to figure those big things out. Say, "I'm here having a wonderful time. This is what I want. This is what I desire." Hold that and know that the universe is going to fill that, the rest of it, in so that that comes true for you. The universe wants to give you. Wants to give you. I think, wasn't it Emerson, the whole universe conspires?
Yes.
Conspires. Don't you love that word? The universe conspires to give you your good. It conspires. You see? You have to, I love that word. So you have to see just the end. The rest will fill itself in. But you get so busy thinking, "Oh, now I have to do this step and that step and I have to do this." You don't have to do any of those steps. You have to do something. Absolutely. You just can't sit there and go, That may make you feel good, but nothing, $1 million is not going to drop out of the ceiling, I can assure you. But if you want $1 million, you hold that you're a millionaire. Then you start to act like that. Remember, I've told you 100,000 times, once you say something or once you do a treatment, then you must live at that level of demonstration. You must start to live at that level. That's part of it. And then you let the rest of it go, and my goodness, before you know it, you'll have that thing. I'm always absolutely amazed at how many things that I want that I have forgotten I want, and I'm walking someplace, and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on. Oh my goodness, I have that. Oh my goodness, I have that. Once I was sitting in my apartment in Georgia, and I had made this affirmation a long time ago that I wanted original pieces of artwork. I didn't want to go to Sears and Roebuck. I wanted a rigid piece of artwork. I was sitting there in this apartment, and oh my God, look, there's one there. Where did they come from? I saw the end, and then it filled itself in. But of course, I forgot. And I looked at, and there, that hasn't that happened to you? You want, and then, oh my gosh, there it is. Conceive the end, forget about it. This universe is not going to forget. It's going to immediately go to work. That's the next thing you have to know. The universe immediately starts. Every time you think, every time you say something, the universe immediately goes to work on that. It doesn't wait a week and say, "Well, let me check with your father. Let me check and see if this is going to work here first." It immediately goes to work with what you want. When you say, "I'm whole, complete, and perfect," the universe immediately goes to work then. It doesn't say, well, we'll wait till you get over your cold, and then we'll start then. You see? Think of the end, where you want to go. Change your attitude towards that. Because we're taught, because we have time-space continuum here, we think that it has to go along this way. And it doesn't. You can work this from either end, and you can work it from all kinds of things. That's when, you know, when I used to do spiritual mind treatments. Oh, you left step three out. Oh, I'm going to hit you. You know, or you mix three up with four, or you change this around. Listen, you can do it. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. It's what your attitude is here. See the end product. Everything will fall into place for you. Everything will fall into place for you. You've heard me say this. I'm going to back up here a minute. Many times, because I do read a lot. When I read metaphysical books, I read novels too, but I read a lot of metaphysical books, so I want to see what those other people are saying out there, you know. Catch them, you know. Say, oh, that's wrong. No, I don't do that. But, well, every once in a while. But anyway, you have to remember, in the same way when you're listening to me, this is what I believe, and these are my opinions, and so forth. And then you have to take them and do something with them. But the main thing is, you never have to read another thing. Everything you need to know is inside of you. Everything you need to know is there. But we're so conditioned by the world that we have to get an education from outside of us. The education is from inside of us. And yet we still do that. You see, we still do that. And we say, to educate. And we think, oh, that means pound all this stuff in. But to educate means to draw out from. To draw all the knowledge out from you. You can't make this statement, I live, move, and have my being in the mind of God, and then think that you can't know something. You could know anything that you want to know. You have to quiet yourself. You have to move that bloated nothingness out of the way. And then you'll get to that. You'll get, but you'll find your own truths. Then you'll find out who you are, because we're individualized expressions of God. We're not cookie cutters, people. The world wants you to be a cookie cutter. It wants you to be a puppet so it can tell you all this, you know, everyone is doing the same thing and looking alike and all. That horrible tendency in this world to homogenize everything. Don't be homogenized. No, say no. I'm thinking for myself here. Now, you can think like other people, you can think similar to other people and all that, but learn to come up with things for yourself. Why were you given this wonderful mind and so forth if you're just going to regurgitate stuff that other people have said? That is not an education. That is not what it means to be thinking and to be intelligent. So change your attitude about that also. Change your attitude. It's always going to boil down to that. And it's an easy, easy thing to do. This is not a difficult thing. You know what your attitude is. You can, if you don't know what your attitude is, you can certainly spot somebody else's attitude, can't you? What hangs out there like anything, somebody else's attitude. Oh, God, they have a horrible attitude, don't they? That when we so, and we can change that within our own self. See, it's easy. And we can laugh and we can have fun with this whole thing and not take ourselves so seriously. Don't take yourself so seriously. Do you remember that old thing about the angels? Why do angels fly? Because they take themselves lightly. Yeah, because they take themselves lightly. They don't get all. We think everything is so damn important, don't we? So change your attitude that everything is, there's nothing important. It's nothing important. Really. And you have this whole thing called eternity, which I can't even grasp what that means. But I know that it means more than 80 years. So you're going to keep going and you're going to keep expanding. You're going to do it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Because you're always moving, what? From your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. Always. So give yourself that break. So, along with changing your attitude, if you learn nothing else tonight, learn that you're being taken care of. Learn that you're being taken care of. And it'll make all the difference in the world. You are the full expression of God. And this thing called God is working in you and through you all the time. All the time. So when you want to do something, know that it's God that's doing that. Remember when my relatives came, it took me forever to adjust my attitude about that. Oh, what are they coming for? I don't want them here. Oh my God, I have all this work to do. Don't they know that this... So I sat myself down and said, now listen, Dallas. God is coming to visit. Oh, I guess I better get up and clean. God is coming to visit. Made all the difference in the world to change my attitude like that. And I loved getting ready for it. And I loved getting ready for it. You have to change it. It's up to you. All life is inside of you. And you can do it. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.